This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Are we going to play Guess the Manager? You bet. Not right now, though. We're going to give it a couple minutes.
Can I just interrupt you real quick with this?
Yeah.
So more of this Robert Saleh Jet stuff is coming in.
Oh, okay, good.
Albert Breer, SI.com. Saleh came into work this morning as usual and was informed by Jets owner Woody Johnson of the decision. That's cold. Walk into work for the morning and all of a sudden the guy goes, "Hi, nice to see you. Let's take a seat."
I once worked with a news anchor who, when he came in the entrance, the back door where we always came into work, he came in the back door, was greeted by the news director with his belongings in a box and told to go home.
That's real cold.
That's cold.
Wow. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I saw that. I was like, whoa.
And they're 2-3, Andy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they fire a coach at 2-3. We'll get into the Browns later.
Stop it.
No, I'm not saying fire Kevin Stefanski at all. I'm not. That's not where I'm going with that. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I feel like I'm postponing everything in the show so we can get to where we really want to be. And that's talking about the Guardians history. There are a lot of questions that I think folks are asking themselves. And I think that's just another sign of a good game. I know it's hard to look at it from the other side when you lose. Like, you can sit here and be mad and upset. And I know I got mad and upset at some point. There were some points where the Guardians, you know, when they weren't getting anything going and they were getting no hit early in the game, I'm like, just bunt the ball. I don't care if there's two strikes. Look how far back the third baseman is. You know, you got to do something to get moving. There was just no they could not break through early on. And then the double plays were just complete death to the offense yesterday. So if you ask me why they lost yesterday, I'm not hung up on the home run. I'm more hung up on the fact they couldn't get anything going against a guy. Last time, as you brought up several times, we can sit here and talk about how great Detroit's starting pitcher is, and that he's just amazing, and that, you know, Skubal is the best thing that ever happened to Detroit, and best whatever. They had opportunities earlier in the game to change the whole philosophy, dynamic, and they hit into a couple double plays, and it was just like,
which we'll talk about coming up. And you're right; those were crucial.
Yeah,
we're gonna debate some of those coming up.
Okay, we'll debate those.
And I thought it was interesting. It was just the one thing that we talked about yesterday. And, again, you could make the argument they did or that they didn't, and we're going to do that. Did they play for every possible run they could possibly get? Play small ball just to get a run on the board? Because it's a different game maybe in that eighth inning if you're up 1-0, you know?
Yeah, and then it just that ninth inning, too, the bottom of the ninth went by real – now – I'm not quite sure what the strike zone was, because it definitely felt like when Fry was up last and he struck out looking. I mean, you had two guys strike out looking
that,
at the bottom
that
of the
ball
ninth.
That was a ball on David Fry's
pitch. You know what that felt like, Jeff?
Don't you think?
100%.
It was like, we're done, let's go.
No, it felt like Sunday getaway day, didn't it? It felt like the umpires are like, we're out of here. We're out of here. Whatever it takes, let's get through this ninth inning.
I rarely criticize the umpires on balls and strikes, rarely. But when David Fry struck out on that last pitch, and they're down 3-0, Andy, so let's be real. But they're down 3-0. Still doesn't matter. You know, Tigers put together three straight hits in the ninth inning.
Right.
But I thought, oh, that was a missed call there.
Before you got hopped on the call this morning, Dan and I were saying it seemed like the strike zone was getting bigger because no one was scoring runs and the umpires wanted to get out of there. It's a playoff game.
The umpires didn't want to get out of there.
That last pitch felt like they wanted to get out of there,
no,
and you know
they
it.
Didn't.
That strike zone got wide starting in about the seventh inning.
There's no question it got wide.
About the seventh inning, that puppy widened.
I'm not saying that it didn't get wide. What I'm saying was you can be sure. I'm sorry. I trust the professionalism of Major League umpires.
Oh, my God. Best joke in 13 years.
They weren't thinking in a playoff game, God, all these people are still here. We've got reservations at 8:30. We got to get there.
Really? You don't think that's ever crossed an umpire's mind ever?
Andy, we were talking. I'm talking about yesterday.
The integrity
you
of
just,
the game.
You just brought up
I'm telling
yesterday.
You, the last pitch,
I'm talking
Jeff.
About yesterday.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I watched the last pitch of the game,
he
and they looked
the
like.
Pitch.
And Jeff, been to enough
he
getaway.
Didn't think, damn it, I got salmon on the grill. Let's go.
Okay, that's your world, and I don't want to live in it. I'm telling you, when I saw that last pitch and it was so low, I was like, these guys just want to get out of here. It's like, there's no way. And Dan was right. This was the point of our whole conversation. The point is, get rid of the umpires calling balls and strikes because it wasn't consistent. How can you not ask for consistency in a playoff game? They lost. Like, the Guardians didn't lose because of the last pitch. But can we get some consistency? Forget about it. Umpires at Major League Baseball don't need to be calling balls and strikes anymore. I'm done. There's no reason. If they can get it right in tennis, we can get it right in baseball. And I'm not all about, you know, clocks and just bigger bases and just all the changes they've made. I think we've all kind of just agreed to disagree if you didn't like it, but just move on. But there's no reason to get a ball and strike wrong anymore. We have the technology. The $6 million man was in the 70s. We now have everything we need to make sure we get it right. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't think on the last pitch they weren't like, let's get out of here. Because that's what it was. It was a horrible missed call. Horrible. And it looked like a Sunday getaway day. We can agree to differ. All right, so let's go back. I want to talk about the game itself because there are a lot of people talking about, and I know we're going to break it down and play, you know, Tuesday morning quarterback on this and second guess the manager. But let's get the reasoning why Stephen Vogt did what he did. So let's listen in on what he had to say. One of the things he had to say was he talked about why Clase, why he put him in the eighth inning. Why did he do this? Here's what he said.
He did, thanks to Stephen Kwan making the best catch we've seen all year.
Yeah, by the way, did you think it was a catch?
I thought it hit the ground.
One angle, the straightaway angle, looked like it hit the ground. The side angle looked like it hit like the finger of his glove and bounced up into his glove.
Yeah, and I think that's what they went with.
I think that went too.
Yeah, because there were...
The front angle looked like it bounced.
Yeah.
But the side angle looked like it bounced off his glove into the palm of his glove. The ball clearly bounced, but it looked like on
where
the side angle,
bounce?
It bounced
question.
Off of his glove into his glove.
Yeah, so and that's what, after going back and watching it 100 times, I
agree. Did you think that
you.
Was the case?
I didn't think. When I was watching
it. Did you think it bounced off his, like,
I thought
off
it,
the finger
I
of
thought
his
he
glove
trapped it.
Into the heel?
I thought he trapped it.
Did
that
you?
Was the first thing I thought. And I looked, and I was sitting there with, like, six or seven other people, and we all watched the monitor again after it happened. And even after it happened, I think the original call was out, so they had to overturn it. So I think if the original call was
safe,
they might have stuck with it that way too.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's what umpires are good for, trying to figure that stuff out, not balls and strikes. Sorry, I didn't want to go back.
Too late.
You know, and then when you get into Class A, Vogt talked about this too. Did he have a bad outing? No, it was just one bad moment. Cut two. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. I think the ball's still going, too, by the way. Have you guys seen it land?
Wow.
It was monstrous.
Can I
to watch that live in person, it was monstrous.
After the game, Dusty Baker was on the TBS postgame show, and made a really interesting point. And you can second guess this stuff all day long. But he said, you know, Clase is throwing 101 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And he missed, what, on the first two pitches, I think it was. And then he threw sliders three straight. And the third one, if the first one hung up, the second one hung up a little bit more maybe. And then the third one was like, hello. It was up, and it looked to me like it was just slightly in off the middle of the plate, which is perfect pull territory for a left-handed hitter. And that's what he did.
So the other thing that we'll be talking about in second guess the manager here is Clase just pitching to Carpenter in the first, because I heard other people, because I even looked at that point. I looked to see if the Guardians had anybody up in the bullpen. I was like, I wonder.
It's Clase. You got to let him go.
Yeah, there's no way. So there's no, I'm 90% sure, 95% sure that there's nobody up in the bullpen, because I had looked at one point during the at bat and I'm like, no, they're in. They're all in on this. And so cut three. Clase on talking about, this is Vogt about Clase pitching Carpenter in the ninth.
Tip your cap.
Here you go. Jeff, tip your cap, please, for me. You're wearing only one wearing one.
Tipper.
Oh, no. Hody has one on, too. I wish you could get that at-bat over. I think we were all looking to see that he was going to throw some major heat, and it was going to be strike three, and we were going to be through the inning. I think that's what we were all praying for.
Well, after two sliders, what's the hitter thinking? He's probably not going to throw a third, except maybe he was thinking that. That's the little cat and mouse game.
He guessed right. He guessed gigantically right. So now we're tied at 1-1. So we're going to play this game, second guess the manager, in a minute. I do want to hear what you have to say. Let's go to Jim in Concord. Hi, Jim.
Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Vogt's like manager of the year. I hate to second guess him, but it's been a pet peeve of mine when he does this with Clase, brings him in a tie game. I understand they do that, but, if he had Cade Smith sitting in the bullpen ready to come in and, you know, close it out later, I'd understand it. But now he's got Clase in a role he's not used to, and then he's going to bring in another guy who's not used to being the end-of-the-game guy. So I just don't get it. I don't get that technique, but I know a lot of managers do it. And like I said, Vogt, he deserves praise. But we're just talking about this, so just want to chime in.
So my question is, would you have held Smith back and not thrown him in the beginning of the game?
Well,
no, he was perfect there.
I thought he was, too. It's like everyone keeps talking about that. They're like, you know, if you had Smith available, then maybe. But I can't. It's hard for me to second guess him on any of that.
Well, he brought in his guy to get one extra out. Now, that's a different situation. You know, Clase's not used to coming in with guys on base. Sorry, he's used to getting guys out. Can you get four guys out instead of three? Yeah, I don't think it was an outrageous move. In fact, I think it was.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Get it? I'll leave it at that. I get it.
I mean, hey.
We're going to go a little more in depth here in a sec.
I just in the moment, I was like, all right, well, even Mariano Rivera gave up a grand slam to Bill Selby before an All-Star break weekend. And now this is a different scenario, but I was like, even the great Mariano Rivera gives him up every once in a while. So that's what happened yesterday. All right, so let's play Second Guess the Manager, because that's what we do, and that's kind of fun. We'll do that when we return. 216-474-0092. Are you second guessing the manager? Oh, then the phone line is for you. Again, 216-474-0092. Tomorrow, and we'll see how things shake out there. But as always, a high production value is what we always strive for on this show. And ladies and gentlemen, I turn the reins over to my good friend and guy I like to argue with every day about silly things. He is Jeff Phelps. Jeffrey.
Oh, thanks for the reins, Andy.
You got it.
Well, it was a great game yesterday. Wonderful playoff baseball. But, you know, wonderful playoff baseball gives you the opportunity to do things.
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second guess the manager.
Things rolling right along. Top of the fifth inning. Stephen Vogt went out to the mound. He lifted Matt Boyd with two outs. He brought in Cade Smith to face righty Matt Vierling. Good idea, bad idea?
Good idea. You were hoping for five innings out of your starters. I think you are in every game out of this. You're going to Smith. I mean, confidence galore. You're going to your bullpen, confidence galore. I am not second-guessing the manager on this one.
Danny, any arguments?
None. I'm good with it. I would have done the same.
I agree completely. I like to see a starter try and, you know, go and finish everything up, and it was going well for Boyd. But you wanted righty on righty there just to be safe. Vierling has some power, no problem. That's good. Bottom of the fifth. He had Naylor and Noel on first and second. One out. Andrés Giménez comes to the plate. Hits away. 4-6-3 double play. Next man up was Austin Hedges. What do we think?
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second guess the manager.
Should he have let Giménez hit away, Andy? Hedges was on deck. Been on first and second. Or do you bunt with one out and try and move runners over, knowing Hedges was the next man up?
The way the game was going, Jeff, I had crossed my mind several times. I didn't want to kill him for the move because I'm not going to, but I bunting was on my mind the entire game. Early on when Scooble was in, I was like, they got to figure out a way to get something going here. I would choose to bunt in that situation, Jeff.
Dano?
You only have 27 outs. Why the hell am I giving one up for free?
I agree with Dan on this one. I am not going to move runners to second and third and hope that Austin Hedges comes through for me. Nor would I have pinch hit for Austin Hedges there in a scoreless game where he was doing a great job with the pitching staff. So I have no issues letting Andrés Giménez hit away in that situation. Bottom of the sixth, next inning.
What did Giménez do in that situation? What was the final outcome?
4-6-3.
Yeah, okay. So you'd rather give away two outs than one. That's brilliant. Next.
Ooh, I'm hindsight is 2020.
Well, I mean, you knew Austin it was going to be a tight game.
Austin Hedges
I'm fancy.
Hits.
Look at me.
Okay. You make your silly little voices there, my friends, but they weren't going anywhere. Kluba was on a roll. They needed to shake it up, and a bunt is not a bad idea. I don't get people.
It decreases your chances of losing.
You're right. I'm going to look at the analytics on this, and I'm going to play
straddle. We're not going to get through this shtick if you do your whining thing.
We don't care. Go ahead. Next.
Hedges is hitting like 95, by the way. Bottom of the sixth inning. Boy, tell me if you've heard this one before. You had Rocchio on third. Mm. You had Kwan on first after a double and a single. And up steps David Fry. You had Jose on deck. You let David Fry hit away. 6-4-3 double play.
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second guess the manager.
All right, Andy, what do you do?
No, first and third. Let IBM go first because he's got everything. What do you got?
I think you're fine there. I mean, I'm not exactly looking down the bench and going, okay, I got to get somebody else up here, unless you want to talk me into Kyle Manzardo. That would have been the only one I would have looked at. Outside of that, yeah, swing the bat. You made the all-star team. Like, this is why you're hitting second in this lineup. This got you here.
And it's righty on lefty.
Yeah.
Andy?
I was good with it.
Okay. You were?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of a sudden, you're not punting, huh?
No, because it's Fry.
Okay. Let me give you a thought on it. I was okay with it, too, because David has been a key part of this team all year, and you let him hit away. You had Rocchio on third. Okay. If you make the Tigers field a bunt, you never know what happens. I'm being devil's advocate here because I would have let him swing away, too. If it works, let's just say he advances the runner, okay, and they don't score the man from third. Rocchio stays on third. You'd have men on second and third for Jose Ramirez, but then they walk Jose Ramirez, bringing up Lane Thomas, who's been really good with two men out and the bases loaded. Does that do anything for you?
Nope.
Okay. I agree. I would have let David Fry swing away. So far, Stephen Vogt, congratulations. You've done a great job. Top of the eighth inning. They intentionally walked Riley Green to put men on first and second with two outs. And you brought in Clase with two outs. Perez is a switch hitter. So Clase comes in, and they get a line drive to left, and Stephen Kwan makes that unbelievable catch. What do you think?
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second-guess the manager.
Who'd have pitched Riley Green with a man on second? Instead, you put men on first and second, you're bringing in Clase. Andy, okay?
Yeah, I've only
all year he's gone more than one inning.
Like, I've got a couple knucklehead friends that are like, oh, I was watching the game with high school kids, and they knew this was a good move, that you shouldn't bring him in, and they blah, 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 blah. The only question I had about bringing him in the eighth inning was, it's just kind of something you haven't done all year. You've done it once, and now all of a sudden, but if you can't trust Clase to go out there and get four outs, there's nobody else on the staff that I would trust like that. I have no problem with him doing what he did in the eighth. Stretch it out. Bring him in the eighth. No problem. You're at home. I would have done the same thing. And I know there are people like, oh, you're an idiot. I can't. Well, just bring him in the ninth. I don't care. Stephen Vogt, I'm okay with what he did yesterday. He's the best pitcher in baseball, arguably, going into
best
that
reliever,
inning.
Without question.
Yeah. Going into yesterday, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you? You talk about confidence. Like, Knucklehead texted me going, well, what does it say to the bullpen if you're going to bring him in the eighth inning? What are you guys nuts? That's crazy. Clase is, I trust him. And I, you know what? I do the same thing next game. I'll do exactly the same thing.
Dano?
Highest leverage moment, give me my highest leverage reliever.
Thank
Done.
You.
I have a
Your
hard,
analytics are correct there. I just want you to know.
I have a hard time arguing with
Notice
this.
Notice how we come full circle.
Oh, it's good.
You could have brought in Andrew Walters. You could have brought in Gavin Williams. They were both still available. But I have a hard time. If you'd have brought in Andrew Walters or Gavin Williams out of the pen, which Gavin isn't used to doing, and to pitch to one batter, or you could have left Gattis in. Anybody comfortable with Gattis there? You'd walk the guy giving up a hit. But the walk was intentional.
If you would have left him in, I wouldn't have been mad. I would have been okay with it.
I probably would have been like, dude, you got Clase sitting right there. Who's nails? Go get
See,
nails.
That's what you're going to go back to. If it didn't work, you're going to say you couldn't pitch an extra batter for Clase. As it turned out, Clase almost gave up a base hit, but it wasn't like the guy smashed the ball.
Here's my question. Do you hold Clase in the same regard that you would Mariano Rivera? Do you? Do you hold him
not
in the
yet.
Same kind of... I'm
Real very, close, but
no,
not yet.
No, I mean, Mariano Rivera's a...
Best closer of all time.
I know, God. But the confidence that like the Yankees had in Rivera to bring him in situations like that, I all season long we've had that kind of confidence in him. All season long. It's the same. I'm not saying they're the same pitcher. I'm not saying that Clase is Rivera, but there's a confidence that I think you have in your closer, which closer I think is one of the silliest things in the game, but it's the confidence that we all had in him to be able to execute. His numbers were just like historic all year. It's one game. It's one game.
All right, top of the ninth inning, you have two outs. You get the first two guys out. Class A gives up two singles. You get them two part. You get to take him out with two outs. He gives up two singles. And who's calling the pitches? Are you going to throw a third straight slider?
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second guess the manager.
You taking him out, Andy?
No, there was nobody up.
You're going to throw a third straight slider.
Who called it?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dano?
I probably would have thrown gas there just because that's what got you here. I mean, is that cutter? That cutter is unbelievable. You may as well just throw that thing. I didn't understand the three straight sliders, especially because you rarely, you know, especially with that, even that cutter, if he throws it wrong, how often does it get hit? I mean, what? I just saw it. Lefties were hitting like a buck and change off of that cutter. Like, yeah, I would have left him out. I would have gone heater there, but yeah.
I'm not taking him out, and I'm also probably not going to second guess the pitch selection. It didn't work. You know, I mean, that we know it didn't work. But it was what? It was a 2-2 count.
Anybody who's
so
sitting
even
here-
if you threw gas, which you did, you threw cutters on the first three pitches. And you had them 1-2 because you or 2-1. Sorry, the first two were balls. And if you throw gas there, that only puts it to 3-2. In hindsight, of course, you throw a different pitch. But and I can't tell you that Stephen Vogt made a bad move yesterday. He made moves that didn't work in a playoff game.
I agree. I can't be mad at him for the decisions he made yesterday. I'm not considering a second guess.
I can't either.
I'm not. So, all right, I'm glad we played that game because now it should have been, well, let's not second guess him. That could have been the name of the game too. Mary Kay Cabot next, Cleveland.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.